and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice fills the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of bells. It's a way of life settles in your soul. In your soul. In your soul. A century of dreams parted the loggers and the cowboys. Double cross. They cursed rough roads, hauling their loads, but they did their best to deliver them. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a race full of thrills. It's a way of life settles in your soul.
Jefferson. Right, Andy Bushfield here. I'm here with Lynn Carpenter. I'm here with Barry Raposa. And we're getting ready to get some more information about the ever-ongoing court case here.
Yes.
But before we do that, we're going to do some local housekeeping. So we have our Jefferson meeting at 5:30 on Monday nights at 2570, 2750 or 2570. One of the two. It's the only church on South Bellevue Road.
The church that shall remain nameless.
But it's the only church.
Yes, it is. 2570.
Yeah. Down across from the fire hall, sort of, kind of. Whatever. Anyway, that's where it is, if you're here in Reading. And then we also have our team that meets up in Bernie. They alternate between Bernie and MacArthur. And Janet coordinates that on the weeks. And to be honest with you, I can't remember the days. But anyway, they do that. And then we also have meetings throughout Jefferson. So call us and let us know when you're meeting and where you're at, and we can let everybody know and make sure it's on the SOJ51.org website. And you can go to that website, and if for your particular county, click on your county, and you can find out where your meetings are held. So,
and tomorrow at 6 o'clock, we have a very, very important meeting, very important, and we'll get into that a little bit more as we go through the program. First thing we're going to do at that meeting is we have Melissa Hunt coming in, and Melissa is going to speak for a little bit.
She's a dynamite lady.
Oh, yeah. Proponent like for Jefferson. Yep. And I think the final tally was that, what was it, that Les Baugh got 49.85 of the vote, which means he has to
run off
against Melissa in November.
For District 5 of Shasta County Supervisor race.
And when you want to give the information on what's going on with the court case right there, and then I'll talk about the ride sharing.
Okay. We'll give you a quick lowdown on it, and I'll just read what's been posted. Once again, Judge Kimberly Mueller has vacated our scheduled hearing and advanced the date to Thursday, June 14th at 2:30 p.m. at the Robert Matsui Courthouse, 501 I Street in Sacramento. So the Citizens for Fair Representation will gather at 1 p.m. to begin our march around the walls of Jericho. So basically walking around the federal courthouse. Bring flags and signs and a folding chair so you can be comfortable and rest when you need to. And so what that means is we are not, I repeat, not going to court on the 15th. We are going to court on the 14th. The judge changed the date on us.
Yes, and we want to be there at noon. Mark has suggested noon, so between noon and 1 o'clock is a good time to get there. The good news is that you don't have to get up at the crack of dawn to head there.
That's right.
Now, tomorrow night, I know in Shasta County, and I want to just bring up the Shasta County example, because this should work well for all counties. We're going to have a meeting, and we're during our regular meeting, and we are going to carpool, because if you put four people in a car, gas is inexpensive, parking is inexpensive, and you can stop and
do what you need to when you need to.
And also you can stop and get something to eat or bring your bag lunch or whatever it is that you want to do. That way you could leave, you know, if you want to be there by 1, you could leave easily by 9, 9:30, something like that, and not have any problem.
Depending on where you're coming from.
Well, if you're coming from Shasta, and I'm specifically talking to Shasta because we're doing that tomorrow at our meeting. We will go ahead and we'll get the ride sharing all going on. Mm-hmm. And, yes, this should be a duplicatable process all the way through Jefferson with the other counties. If you don't have a meeting scheduled or you haven't got a way to do that, maybe you ought to get on a conference call or call your folks. Now, one of the things that we've heard is that a lot of people maybe have 6 people coming or 7 people coming or 5 people coming or 4 people coming. Bring as many as you can. I would say that a county that's the size of our county should have 50 people
minimum.
It should have 500 people. But,
right.
You know, the one question we're going to have to all ask ourselves is how much more of this lack of representation do we want to put up with everything that's going on from the sanctuary city, sanctuary state, the Second Amendment, rights being taken away, CARB, the land and water issues that we all have. I mean, you name it. I mean, we're going to pay a tax on water if you use more than 55 gallons of water per day, per person. And I mean, I guess we shower once a week now. I mean, what if you have a family of 8? I mean, it's just absolutely insane what's going on in California. One thing I do want to mention, because I know that Mark Baird is going to be calling in soon, and before he does, I want to mention something, and that is that the case for Citizens for Fair Representation, which is the case that is in front of Kimberly Mueller, that particular case is not only for all Californians and all different parties, but the motion to dismiss that that Padilla has brought forward says, yeah, nobody has representation. We agree with that. They agree with what we're doing, and we're still being stalled. That's a big frustration, I think, to all of us. So tomorrow night at 2570 Bonnie View Road, we will be talking about ride sharing. We will have Melissa Hunt in, but we will be talking about ride sharing and how we're going to do that. We'll assign people to cars, so everybody and anybody needs to come out to that meeting. And, Gary Hollihan's on the line. Gary Hollihan was on the line. Gary Hollihan, are you on the line?
Yes.
There you are. Okay.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Good morning. How's it going, Gary?
All right. The water situation, the 55 gallons, is not about conservation.
Mm-mm.
It's about the California communist idea that we all should be equal. Therefore, we will all be the same in appearance and smell. We will all be equal. So therefore, it fits right in with the South City Park. I think they're called a family, are they not, Terry?
No, they're called the people. And one quick caveat on the South City Park. The real danger with South City Park and the real danger of that is the fact that they call themselves the people. Now, Jake Mangus was down there with a friend, and they were going to play catch with a football, and a couple of folks walked up to him and said, hey, this is our park, get the blankety blank out of our park. They're known as the people. The big problem that we have is we can't differentiate between who's the mentally ill guy, who's the drug addict, who's the homeless guy, who's the real homeless guy, because they're all forming together, as Chief Moore says, it looks like a prison population courtyard. Because they're creating a sub-society, they're creating a subculture, and they run all kinds of illegal businesses out of there, and it's going to spread through this city if we don't do something about it. It's tough.
Well, my sarcasm, I didn't want to deviate from State of Jefferson, that other than with the State of Jefferson, we would not be having the water conservation, quote, whatever you want to call it, we wouldn't be having the excessive gas taxes. We wouldn't be having this. We wouldn't be having that. And that's why it is absolutely necessary that we have a turnout.
Amen, brother.
Thursday,
amen.
because we have to show people that we mean business.
Yeah, and I think that this subculture that's going on in this criminal activity between what's a homeless person, what's a drug addict, what's a transient, I mean, it's all being looped and brought together under one roof called the people. The reason I say that's just another thing in California that makes it dangerous. And, folks, you know, I know that most of the people that listen to this program were probably preaching to the choir a lot of times. But, you know, really and truly, we need you at that courthouse. You need to be at that courthouse, and you need to be there by 1 o'clock, and you need to be there on Thursday.
And you need to bring friends, enemies, and whatever else you can bring along with you that are in support of Jefferson that want liberty.
Anyway, Gary, we've got other lines lit up here, buddy.
Yes, fine. So thank you very much for taking my call. Bye.
You bet.
Bob, thank you, Bob.
How you doing, Round Mountain?
Good morning, Bob. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. Fellas, even though we had a problem and it was changed, we got a 15-passenger van, and it is full. We will have signs, and we will be there Thursday. You can grant and put your money on, 15 of us will be there. So,
Bob,
just so you know.
Thank you, Bob. Buddy. You know,
thank you.
You've been great, Bob. Thank you, Pappy. That is just wonderful. As Bob just said, he's got a van he filled up with 15 people. They're going down there, so there's 15 right there. You know, I mean, really and truly, folks, if we want this, we need to go get it. And it can't be up to a few people like Bob and Gary and folks like that and Janet and Terry G and you know all the people. You know all know who you are, Leah, et cetera, to go out and get stuff done. And being just on the sidelines, thanking us for doing it. No, we all need to get into this fight.
We do.
Anyway, Bob, one other thing I want to say
is several of us are going to miss a day's work and a day's pay because we believe that this is the only way we are going to get our representation and our freedom back. And we are willing to give this up to get what we need.
There you go.
Amen. Hey, Pappy, thank you for everything you do, my brother, and I'll see you tomorrow night. We've got Mark Barrett on the line.
I won't see you tomorrow. I got a daughter coming in from Iowa.
Okay.
I got to pick her up, but I will see you Thursday.
Yes, sir. Okay, thanks again, Pappy. We got Mark Barrett on the line. Mark, how you doing?
Good morning, Mark.
Morning, guys. How are you this morning?
So far, so good. What's happening in Siskiyou?
Well, it's a beautiful day, kind of partly cloudy up here. Rained a little bit yesterday, so we didn't get much beyond dust control, but water's always good.
There you go. So, hopefully.
3 days, a new day, though.
Well, you know, we were talking to Bob from Reading, and here's a guy, you know, we talk about having a dog in the hunt and really having skin in the game. He went out and rented a van that seats 15 people, and he filled it up. To take down to the courthouse. And that's some of the efforts that we need to have out of the folks.
Amen.
Yeah, I think I'm going to call around up here on Monday and see if there's a van like that available up here, because I'll just go ahead and rent one. I mean, what's the difference? You wear out your own car, you wear out Hertz's car, and see how many people we can get in that. And, you know, I mean, it boils down to one thing. It's crunch time. You know, how bad do you want this? That's where we are right now.
Well, you know, the real caveat to that, though, is when Bob decided to do this, he did it in a way he said, okay, this is what it's going to cost. This is what gas is going to cost. So I'm going to divide this by 15. So those people have a dog in the hunt. You know, it isn't up to us to rent something. It's all, you know, the thing is we have to have people start being responsible and like helping Bob out, you know, doing that thing. He rents it. So, folks, if you're there and you're listening from Siskiyou County, if Mark rents a van, you know, kick in a little for gas. And, you know, let's fill that thing up. We need all the counties to participate in this, not just certain counties sending 50 or 60 people, or even those counties that should be 500 or 600 or maybe 5,000.
Well, it's
you know, here's the deal. This is a numbers game, guys.
Right.
You know, look, like I said before, let's say we have 2 million people in Jefferson, 2.2 million people or so. Let's say we could get, I don't know, what, 1% of them to show up on any given day, just 1%.
Yeah.
That we'd probably win. I mean, if we could show up at that courthouse with 20,000, 25,000 people all at the same time, all demanding their day in court. That's all we're asking for. We're not even asking for a predetermined outcome. We're asking that our case be heard. We have some pretty brilliant legal minds. Alex Kaczynski, former Chief Justice of the Ninth Circuit. Now, everybody laughs at the Ninth Circuit, but Judge Kaczynski was probably the only rational person in that court. He's a brilliant legal mind. He agrees with the case we're bringing. He says it's cutting edge. And this is a quote. Judge Kaczynski says this is cutting edge constitutional law. Cutting edge. I mean, this question has to be asked. Is it okay for one state senator to claim to represent a million people? And it's not okay with me. My state senator, Ted Hu, who's now running for some other office, Board of Equalization, because he wants to keep that CalPERS building. He'd like to get his wife shuffled into his chair like the true monarch and oligarchy of Sacramento. That's their process and procedure. You know, we don't elect new people. We just swap the deck chairs on the Titanic and put different passengers in each deck chair. And I couldn't pick that guy out of a crowd. He's a liar. He never shows up here. He never does anything. He never does anything for us. You couldn't get a hold of him if your life depended on it. Is that representation? Brian Daly, he's so proud of himself because he reaches across the aisle. You know, he once called one of the, I think it was a Republican women, a gal on the Republican women, a gal that works hard here. You know, she's involved in everything. The Republican women in Siskiyou County work hard on this stuff. And he called her up and he says, I am never doing anything for the people of Siskiyou County ever again because you people are too much trouble. Why are we too much trouble? Ask yourself. Are we letting the air out of the guy's tires? Are we taking part of his paycheck home? No. We're asking him to represent us in issues where the state is subjugating the people of this county and driving us into the poorhouse. That's what we've been asking him to do.
Well, even
on the issue of dam removal.
Yeah, exactly.
Step up to the plate and do something. But he can't be bothered because he's too busy reaching across the aisle, whatever that means. Is that representation where you have one guy who represents seven counties, and he refuses to represent one of them because we ask him for things? Is that really representation? Is that what Judge Mueller is going to deny us our day in court over? The state's weak argument about, well, yeah, it's all true. It's all true, the state says. Everything you said is true. But since everybody in California is equally screwed, there's nothing you can ask the court to do about it. My God, it's a good thing we're not under a death sentence. I mean, it's a good thing everybody in California isn't in front of the wall waiting for the firing squad, because, you know, the court would say, hey, you know, it's everybody, so there's nothing we can do for
you. Know, and that's so true, and you just nailed it. I mean, in their motion to dismiss on the first page, they're saying, well, yeah, we realize that nobody has representation. I mean, they're agreeing with us. I think the thing about Judge Mueller is the most disappointing thing is the fact that on August the 5th, 2017, she gave us our three-judge court. And then what happened, Mark?
Well, you know, of course, she gave us our three-judge court. The state presented a paper, basically the state whined, because they don't want to see this go to a three-judge court. They want to see things keep going just the way they are so that the fat cats in Sacramento can keep stealing your money and telling you what to do. And so when the state whined, she changed her mind.
In less than 24 hours, she did that.
And then she canceled the hearing in less than 24 hours.
12 hours.
Less than 12.
But it's crazy. You know, I mean, not even time to warn people.
Inconveniencing hundreds and hundreds of people who, in some cases, like my case, would have been a 10-hour drive round trip.
Yep.
And changing their plans and changing their work schedule. And I realize that the oligarchy, the kings and queens of Sacramento, don't really care how inconvenient your life is. All you have to do is look at the laws, the 900 laws they pass every year to know that. But that's just rude, and it's disrespectful to the people who created the Article III courts to provide justice, continuity in the law, and protection of the sacred liberties we hold most dear. In other words, the reason we formed the government was to protect the rights of the governed, deriving all just power from the consent of the governed. So what does the judge do? We hand her a motion, fair and square. It's a well-reasoned, literate motion. And what does she do? She, before she rules on it, she asks the state, well, what do you think? I mean, you know, since when do you ask the defendant in a court case what they think about the motion that the prosecution or that the plaintiff is presenting before you rule on it. I thought she was the judge. That's her title, judge. That's why you're supposed to call her Your Honor. Well, I find nothing honorable about this court, nothing whatsoever. I find them to be disrespectful, rude. I find them to be dismissive of the people who invented this government to protect their liberties. In fact, I find the General Harm Agreement disrespectful to the liberties they're supposed to protect. So under the General Harm argument, there is no liberty that would be sacred to the court, because if you steal everyone's liberty, then there's nothing the court can do about it anyway.
And how about the courtroom change? You might want to elaborate on that for the folks.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, we've asked twice for the big courtroom. It's a courtesy to the people who are coming. It is respectful to the hundreds of people who drive hours and hours and hours, and by the court's own website, to see justice done. Everyone has the right to participate in the process of justice and to see justice done. So she knows we have hundreds of people coming and yet denies us the larger courtroom every single time. And I find that disrespectful and rude, again, dishonorable. And I find this, I have nothing but contempt for this court and for this judge. Nothing but contempt.
Well, you know, and we didn't even get a response from our attorney's request for the larger courtroom this time. We didn't even get a response from the court.
Well, we don't get a response for a lot of things from this judge. I mean, we filed a motion demanding a three-judge court, which United States Code Title 28, Section 2284 says we're entitled to. She has been directed by the Congress of the United States, the People's House of Government, the People's Branch of Government. She has been directed by the People's Branch of Government to appoint a three-judge court in all apportionment and dilution of vote cases, whether they're federal or state in nature. She has been directed by the Supreme Court of the United States in Shapiro versus McManus to appoint a three-judge court, or ask the chief magistrate to appoint a three-judge court in all apportionment and voter dilution cases. She has been directed by the United States Congress and the Supreme Court of the United States to ensure that that happens, whether she likes it or not, because she is not the arbiter of the merits of this case. She does not have jurisdiction over the standing in this case, because individual voters have standing. That was proven in Baker versus Carr, Gray versus Sanders, and Reynolds versus Sims. And when the state presents a weak argument, which basically is the dissent from Baker versus Carr, a case that lost in the United States Supreme Court, she finds with the state. Does this judge also not know how to read? Does she not read the law? Or let me just pose maybe a question. Or is she so beholden to her masters in the Democrat Party that justice is not a factor in her thought process?
Well, with that, my good friend, we've got to go to a break. Stay with us. And, folks, if you have a question for Mark or a question about anything, the phone number is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567. Time has come.
For 51.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Under my thumb, the girl who once had me down. Under my thumb, the girl who once pushed me around. It's down to me. The difference in the clothes she wears down to me. The change has come.
Okay, we're back at it. Okay, I just want to let everybody know, again, the time change and the day change for our next court hearing. It is Thursday, June 14th at 2:30 p.m. at the Robert Matsui Courthouse, 501 I Street in Sacramento. So come one, come all, and get there whenever you want. But Thursday, the 14th at 2:30. And, you know, people get there early, so we can't tell them to get there at 1 o'clock.
Well, no.
So people will get there early. They always
We want to march. We want to start marching.
I get that. But we can't tell them, you know, specifically, be there at 1 o'clock. But we are going to start doing some stuff at 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, right.
So if you want to participate in that, that's when you would want to be there. If you want to get there earlier, great, be there earlier. But the court, we are scheduled to go into court at 2:30. And we don't know how many hearings are before us or after us and how quickly that will move. Because they tell you 2:30, but then you go in there and there could be five of you on the docket for 2:30, you know, at the same time. That's how it works. At least that's how it worked last time we were there, which was way too long ago. So, again,
yep.
Thursday the 14th at 2:30, Robert Matsui Courthouse, 501 I Street. So if you're a patriot, if you're a Jeffersonian, if you care about your kids, your grandkids, nieces and nephews, friends and enemies, if you care at all, I would suggest you be there. So,
yeah,
we'll see everybody there.
You're right, my good friend. And if you live in California and you feel like you're not being represented, you should be there.
If you're a property owner.
Yeah.
Or if you're not a property owner.
If you use water.
If you rent, you know, whatever. If
you breathe.
If you're just homesteading or if you're just whatever, if you're just living in somebody's place, it doesn't matter. You know, please be there. You have a pulse and you're healthy enough to be there, please be there. Because we know we have Jeffersonians who are not healthy that will be there.
Yep.
They are defying the odds of, you know, trying to stay alive and doing everything else, and we know that they're going to be there because we see them at everything. So there is no excuse. And when we're talking about taking kids out of school or programs or whatever, doesn't matter. Bring the kids there, too. They need to see history in the making. They need to be part of this. And you don't want to be one of those souls that when, you know, 5-10 years down the road, when the kid turns to you and said, hey, Grandma, Grandpa, Mom, and Dad, where were you when this happened? Oh, I don't know. I was at work. Or I couldn't be bothered. Really? You're going to let that happen? I don't think so. So, come on. Everybody step up and let's be there.
Kimasabi, what say you, my friend?
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, this is a numbers game. Look, if we could manage to get 50,000 people there, do you think they'd care what we wanted? And the answer to that's obviously yes. So now just do the arithmetic. What if we get 50 people there? Do you think they'll care what we want? The answer is no.
That's
so
right.
The truth lies between 50 and 50,000, and the closer to 50,000, the better chance we have of winning. That's just the numbers, folks. I mean, you can't be ignored if you show up in a large enough group that they realize you're not kidding. When people take a day off of work and drive hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles by the tens of thousands and block traffic and clog the sidewalks and crowd in the front of the building and walk around it asking for justice, well, someone just may hear it. But if the same 50 people show up, then they're going to look outside and go, oh, look, the country bumpkins are out front again. And then they'll go back to their donut and coffee. So this is nothing but a numbers game. Look, we have the legal argument. It's already there. We've spent time, number of hours, big money, years of our lives getting to this point. The legal argument is solid. We probably have a corrupt judge. We'll know on the 14th for sure. But if we show up in numbers big enough, even cowards, even cockroaches will run back under the rock, and maybe we can get a decent judgment out of this court. So it all boils down to you. How bad do you want it? Do you want it bad enough to show up? That's what this boils down to.
Amen.
Yeah, and I think that, and Mark, that's just, it's well put. I think that a lot of times, folks, you all out there that are listening, I know there's a few of you out there listening to this program, need to call those people. You know, and sometimes I've always heard the remark that a man responds to a challenge. And I think that we need to challenge each other to stand up for our principles, to stand up for our rights, and stand up to things that are just unjust and, frankly, things that are corrupt. And I think that's what we need to do. In fact, I know that's what we need to do. Hit a good point, you know. I mean, what are you going to tell your kids and grandkids? I mean, I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, this really doesn't affect me at this point. I'm retired. I've only got a few more years. But what about the people behind you? I mean, and what about the young family that's out there, and they're trying to make ends meet? I see a lot of Jefferson stickers and a lot of people wearing Jefferson stuff. All those people need to be out there. And, oh, by the way, that day that we were down there on Thursday, bring signs, bring your flags, wear Jefferson stuff, wear patriotic stuff. We really need to show up in mass. And, folks, you know, the excuse is going to be pretty good not to show up, because we're heading toward the end game on this one. Don't you believe that, Kimasabi?
Well, yeah, I think we are. It's, you know, it's obvious. We either get our three-judge court, we get standing in this trial, or we don't. Those are the logical outcomes of this day on the 14th. I mean, this is the big one. You know, it's very important, and it couldn't be more important, really. So that's where we are, and we all have to make up our minds. Do we want liberty or don't we? And look, even if I don't care what your age is, even if you're older like I am, I mean, I care how much I pay for gas. I care how much I pay in taxes. I'm a sportsman. I like my guns. I like to shoot. It's fun. It's a hobby. It's something I'm not going to give up. It's also my Second Amendment guarantee of an inalienable right. I will not give that up to the state of California ever. And so it doesn't matter what they do, but I could end up in jail because I have things that I purchased legally, lawfully, that are now in the state of California illegally, which is ex post facto. It's also a bill of attainder. I'll look that one up because it targets gun sportsmen in particular as a group of people. And so I don't care what your age is. You have no liberty in this state. None. It's gone. We talk about regaining our liberty. It's gone. We have to find it again. We have to take it back. You don't even have the liberty to determine whether you get corn oil in your gasoline or not. You don't have the liberty soon to know how much water you can use in your kitchen on any given day. Can you wash a load of laundry and take a shower in the same day? You don't. And guess what? Your utility company is going to be forced into being the water police. So now, is Big Brother watching? Oh, yeah, they're watching your water meter even. They're going to be able to to fine you based on your water meter. You got your smart meters coming. You got your, you know, I mean, I could go on and on. It gets boring after a while because every aspect of your life has been invaded and taken over by the government you formed to secure your liberty. How are we doing, folks? And what are we going to do about it? This is the only effort in this state or in this nation to try to stop the oligarchy, stop the tyranny, return to constitutional republic, and restore liberty to all the people. I mean, whether we get a state of Jefferson or not, we want to restore liberty to all the people. How interested are you in that? Are you interested enough to take a day off work? I mean, you know, or are you okay with it? You know, are you going to wake up in 10 years and wonder why gasoline in California is 10 bucks a gallon and everywhere else it's 2 bucks? I mean, take a look around you. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know what's happening. And we can fix this, and we're the only ones that can. Believe me, this isn't a gloom and doom prediction. We're the only ones that can put this train back on the track. We are the people mentioned in Article 2, Section 1 of the California Constitution. We have the right to alter or reform government anytime the public good demands it. We're not waiting for the next election. We're trying to do something about this now. And we're asking for help from people who want liberty instead of wanting to be slaves. If you're okay with having to work two jobs because you can't make it on one income, every time you stop at the gas pump, every time you go buy an egg, because eggs in California are more expensive because of the rules in California. You know, chickens have to have a certain amount of space to be, and they have to be offered the opportunity to go outside. A chicken, for gosh sakes. Livestock, they have to be offered the opportunity to go outside. Well, I wonder when they're going to start teaching them to read. Because, you know, chickens have equal rights, don't they? I mean, Mother Earth has equal rights to the people who formed this government, doesn't she? And a chicken is part of Mother Earth. I mean, they're trying to regulate cow farts. You know, are you wondering what's going on
Unreal.
In Sacramento? You know, yeah. I
Unreal.
Mean, what's next? How much lead is in your pencil? I mean, they're already indoctrinating your children at school into the socialist liberal program where progressive elites run the world because you're too stupid to know what to do in your own home and in your own life. They're taking your God away from you. They're making parts of the Bible illegal to utter out loud to a person who has asked for counseling. What's it going to take for you? What's your line in the sand? Mine's already been crossed. That's why I'm doing this.
Amen.
But what's yours? Well, what would make you mad enough? Because California is probably already doing it with 900 laws a year. But what would make you personally mad enough to show up one time to a courthouse? What would it take? Do they have to steal your children? Do they have to come in your house and take all your food? Because they'd like to take some foods away from you, like meat. They don't think you should eat meat. They'd like to take oil from you. In fact, when you go to build a house, it's going to cost you $25,000 more to build a house now than it did last year. I mean, they're taking your money already. What's your line? Do you have one? Do you even know what that means? And I'd love to hear people call in and talk about that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, you've talked about the Second Amendment. You did an interesting study. I want you to share that really quickly, if you would, on the states that have open carry. If you just share that information, that was really enlightening. Some stuff people don't know.
There are 30 states, 30 of them, that's a majority, by the way, 30 of 50, that allow the open carry of a loaded pistol with no government permission slip whatsoever, none. There are 15 states that allow the open carry of a loaded handgun if you go down and get a little government permission slip. In other words, the government you formed to secure your God-given liberties, 15 states, if you go beg on your hands and knees for a government permission slip, they could issue you an open carry permit. So that's a total of 45 states where you have the potential to protect your life with a pistol that you just wear on your hip. Remember, there are laws governing your conduct with the pistol, but there is no law governing the fact that you can wear it or not. California is one of only 5 states where you are barred from the defense of your life without a government permission slip, which, by the way, in most of the counties in California, you can't get. Because PC 26150, sub A, says that California counties may issue permission to carry a weapon concealed. And sub 2, that's sub 1, A sub 26150, part A sub 1. 26150, part A sub 2 says the sheriff in a county with less than 200,000 people may issue a permit for the open carry of a loaded handgun within that county only if the county has less than 200,000 people. So even in California counties, a sheriff in county frontier counties, less than 200,000, could issue a permit to open carry a sidearm. Do they? Do you ever hear about that? Is there anyone in this state where the sheriff has the courage to issue that permit if you ask for it?
Yeah, I was thinking courage. Yeah. Courage is a polite.
It is courage.
It's
but
polite.
Is it really, how much courage is required of a public official or a police officer to defend the rights of the governed?
Right.
How much courage is that? It's part of the peace officer's code of conduct.
Right.
For one,
right. It's
part of the government's oath of office, a government official.
We've
That's
got
part
a
of their oath of office.
Mark, we've got a call on the other line. It's Gail.
Yeah.
She has a question. Gail, how you doing?
I'm good.
Okay. What do you have, Gail?
My question is the 55-gallon limit. And, you know, we have questions about, is this going to affect all of the citizens of the state of California, or is it once again going to be like the fire tax?
Well, I think it's going to affect all the people of California if you use 55.
No, it won't at first. At first, it affects people who live in utility districts where water is supplied. In other words, the water supplier at first is going to constitute the water police. So let's say, I don't know what your utility district is, but let's say the Redding Water District, if you buy your water from them, they will be in charge of regulating your use to 55 gallons per day for residential. Now, in rural areas where we have wells, that's coming. And the only reason it didn't come with the original bill is they can't figure out how to do it. Because there are so many people like me that live in the middle of nowhere, they can't literally figure out how to get a meter on my well and have somebody read it so that they could make sure I'm only using my 55 gallons. But believe me, working on it. And they're doing other things to us to deny us the use of the property we own or pay for. So what they're saying to you is, even though you can afford it, even though you have the money for it, even though your utility district is not complaining about how much water people use, because after all, their business is to sell water, the state is going to step in and tell you what you can and cannot do within your own home.
Wow. Gail, what county are you from?
Tehama.
Okay, well, just so you know, no, is Brian Daly, or is Brian Daly your guy? He's not. You have
Gallagher.
Well, Brian Daly is for putting a meter on your well. All you folks who have Brian Daly as your representative, he is for it. He's openly said it. I've heard him openly say it at a forum he was at. He thinks that we should have meters on our wells.
Kind of ironic when he has a ranch up in Big Valley, which is, you know, northeast of Redding, or east of Redding.
Maybe he can get an exemption.
That's probably what's going to happen. And he's got multiple wells. He's got wells for ag. He's got wells for residential. So, yeah.
Okay, do you guys happen to know whether or not, if you live within a city limit like John and I do, you know, Los Angeles, any of the large cities, are they going to have to, you know, regulate people's usage?
Yes. Any municipal water district will be subject to the monitoring of the residential water use of their customers, and it will be their purview. In other words, they're turning a business into a police force. And they already do that, by the way. For example, I'm a small business owner, and they expect me to be the IRS police. If I issue a 1099 to a contractor and he doesn't file for those taxes, they come after me.
They
want me to report people who don't do the right thing with the paper that I've already given them. And it's the same thing in this. This is government that is going to turn your private water company or your municipal water company into the water police force, and they will be tasked or responsible to monitor your usage to make sure it's under that certain point every day. And if it's not under that point, and I'm sure, you know, they're going to go on the news and say, oh, look, we're trying to be fair. We're not going to start fining people for the first year because we want them to get used to wearing the bridle and bit and the harness and saddle. And once they get used to having the weight of the saddle on their back and that bridle in their mouth, then when we get to 55 gallons, we're going to yank on that bit and make you pay every time you exceed it.
Holy crap.
Yep.
Well said, Gail.
Well said, Gail.
Yeah, and the shackles, too.
Oh, man.
Wow.
You know, Thomas Jefferson says that men were not born to be saddled so that others may ride them and in a sense, turn them into slaves. Are we slaves in the land that our fathers built for us? That's my question. Are we?
Well, that's where we're headed.
If not,
Lord, you would think that people would just, you know, finally wake up about all of this.
You would think.
You know, people get so comfortable, it's like the frog in boiling water, I think. They're so used to it, they just go, oh, well, what can we do? In fact, I know business owners that say, you know, it's just easier to comply. We don't want to contribute to the lawsuit because we don't want to make any enemies, and it's easier to comply, and, you know, we'll figure out a way around this. But what you do is you create a situation in your life where you're a criminal every single day.
Absolutely.
And all the state has to do is decide which day they want to come and get you.
Well, and with your comment about the business owners not wanting to contribute because they're afraid of being found out, well, guess what?
Right.
That's all under lock and key, because as a 501c4, we do not have to, and we are not mandated to turn in a list of our donors to anyone. And it is all under lock and key. So,
you know,
but that's
sure,
that's a to be blunt,
I'm
that's
sure
a piss poor excuse
what
on their part.
Thinks right before DOJ kicks their door in and takes the records anyway.
Yeah.
You know, we're not mandated to turn that information over. The government can't make us tell who our donors are. I'm sorry, I just got to tell you, the Germans in 1936 thought the same thing, and when the Jews answered the door on Kristallnacht, I'm sure that they thought, well, you know, the government really can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. Let me open your eyes. There is nothing the government can't do. There are some things they won't do yet. But with the way the weapons situation is here in California, and with the corruption in the courts and with the corruption in the legislature, the loss of the people's representation, the loss of the people's branch of government, because remember, we've added 39.5 million people to the state and not one single additional representative to the people's branch of government, while the other two branches have gone from about 3 state agencies to 577 and from 50 judges to 3,000 judges. While that has occurred, do you really think the government is afraid of what you want or what you think or what's legal? They will kick your door in and take what they want the minute it suits them. So don't think you can protect the donor's identity with the law, because the law doesn't serve you anymore. It serves the government.
That's right.
Have we heard whether or not Trump's administration is actively looking at disbanding the IRS?
I do not know that they are, and somehow I doubt that they are.
Yeah. Well, thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Yes, I'm with you. I wish they would, but I don't think that's the case.
Thank you, Gail.
Thank you, Gail. Great questions, Gail. Thank you.
And we'll see you on Thursday.
See you Thursday.
All righty.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Now, folks, I want you to know that Mark Baird will be on K-High. He'll be on at about 10:35 this morning on K-High. So you folks out there in Placer, Nevada,
El Dorado. Any of the other neighboring counties that receive it?
Yeah, anybody that gets it there.
Sacramento County, do they receive it?
Yeah,
I'm sure
Sacramento
they do.
County does receive it.
Yep.
And so you folks need to listen to Mark. He'll be on about 10:35, 10:40 in there on K-High. Do you know the call letters on that, buddy?
I think it's 950. I don't have. You always do that.
It's K A H I, Kilo Alpha Hotel India.
Right. Yeah, but there's a. Did I say call? I meant the number. 950?
950, I think.
Oh, okay, good.
And they're online. It's an AM station, but you can go to KAHI950.com and you can listen to the stream.
Right. So, you know, really and truly, we can't emphasize enough that folks need to get down there Thursday, you know. And all you folks out there that may not be having a meeting between now and then, well, get on the internet, get on the telephone, you know, get on Facebook, do whatever you can do, but we need to get the word out. We need to learn to multiply and not add. So let's get it out there and then share this stuff. So when you get something on Facebook, don't just like it or not like it. Facebook it, or excuse me, share it. Sorry about that. But you know, that's something that we've got to do. We have to start multiplying the people that are doing this. One thing I do want to say is that since we've started this streaming live business on Monday nights, and we're kind of hoping that all the groups would do that, at one time we got 31,000 hits on it, which was great. And I know that we're doing as much as we can on Facebook. There's many, many, many good videos on the website, soj51.org. But, guys, this is the time. This is the time to stand. Now, Mark, we've got about 4 minutes left, and I'd like you to bring us home here, brother. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts right now?
Well, you already know what I think. You know, Thomas Paine was right. He wrote the pamphlet Common Sense. And anybody that thinks any of this is new, look at history. This has happened time and time again through history where people have not been mindful of their liberty and they've watched their liberty disappear. Solzhenitsyn said, we lost our freedom and we didn't even know it when the communists took over Russia. And it took him decades to figure that out and probably 30 years in the gulag. But, you know, you look at every culture in history, when the people get lazy, the government starts to overreach. And if the people continue to be lazy, the government takes all the liberty for themselves. And then they begin to take all the money for themselves, and pretty soon they create a class of slaves that call themselves citizens but are not. That's where we are here in California. You are not a sovereign citizen of California. You are a slave to the oligarchy, which limited its own numbers in order to restrict your access to political power. If you had a representative that represented 5,000 or 6,000 people, or 2,500 people, the way the founders of California set this state up and the way it began to be governed for a couple of decades before a corrupt legislature stopped its own growth in order to preserve their own power and not have to share any power with you, then you'll realize this is not the first time this has ever happened. This is simply a turn of history, and we must act as citizens. If we fail to act, whatever happens to us is our own fault, and we have no one but ourselves to blame. You know, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't recapture this liberty, then it will be lost to generations in the future, and I think we won't get another chance in our lifetime. The effort we've built has taken years. It encompasses 23 counties with active organizations. We need your help. We can't do this alone. The committees in these counties can't do it alone. We will lose if we don't have your help. You need to elect constitutionally minded representatives. Elect Melissa Hunt. Kick that liar Les Baugh out of office. He's the guy that sat there and promised he would bring Jefferson before the Shasta County Board of Supervisors, and he lied. Do you want a liar to be in charge of your political affairs? If you don't, you know what to do. And that's the same with Jefferson. Do you want liars and thieves to be in charge of your political affairs in the state of California? If you don't, you know what to do. We have a plan to recapture liberty. Is it a perfect plan? I don't know. I guess time will tell. But it's the only plan I know of that has a chance of any success. And it's the only plan that anyone's actively working on. If you got a better idea, don't keep it a secret, but support this if you want to have a chance to return this state to a constitutional republic, or even better yet, for us to form our own state, the state of Jefferson, because the time has come for 51.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Thank you. And now just a general reminder, too. The court date is Thursday, this coming Thursday, June 14th. And the court will start at 2:30. That's when we're slotted to start at 2:30 p.m. at the Robert Matsui Courthouse at 501 I Street in Sacramento. And the courtroom that we're in is on the 15th floor. So if you're able to go up there and check it out. They've got some great views of Sacramento if you want to check it out if you're not able to get into the courtroom. Or if you want to stay outside and do the Walk of Jericho, that's great too. So, again, this Thursday, June 14th at 2:30, and we hope to see each and every one of you there, and even more so that aren't listening to the radio station right now. Please let everybody know where we're going to be and when we're going to be there.
Okay, and you folks down there that are in Nevada, in Tuolumne, in El Dorado, Placer, Kay Mark Barrett will be on.
There you go.
Time has come.
For 51.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding, by Tobacco.